your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today. Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pat Smits, the program It's the Law, and I'm really very excited today to have a couple guests, and we're going to be talking about volunteer guardianship one-on-one, very important volunteer organization here in Hunterdon County, and one more example of how the courts here and volunteer organizations really can supplement what is done in the court. And, of course, I also have to give a shout-out to Susan Hoffman, who was one of the co-founders of this organization. But I have to talk to you about the weather. I don't know why they say chance of showers this afternoon. Not sure where you've been, but it is really a beautiful afternoon. Tomorrow is supposed to be sunny all day. And on Sunday, again, sunny. High tomorrow, about 47 degrees. I have to say, that will be cooler because today, at one point in my office, it was 79 degrees. So this should be a good weekend to get out and start doing some things, and hopefully we'll all take a look at our lawn and figure out something else to do. But I am actually going to have my guests introduce themselves, and as I said, they both have a very important role on volunteer guardianship one-on-one. So, Linda?
I'm Linda Patrick, and I'm the volunteer coordinator. I'm lucky enough to hold that job for 7 years now.
Hi, and I'm Cindy Douglas, executive director. I've been with the organization 6 years.
Well, Linda, one of you, why don't you just briefly talk about how the organization came about, and also then I think it's important for us to talk about what need it fulfills in Hunterdon County, and let the viewers know, see, we're used to television, let the listeners know how unique this is. I mean, honestly, to have a volunteer board and volunteers, I don't know of this anywhere else in the state of New Jersey. I know it's very important, and I hope by the time we're done with the program today, you'll understand why it's such an important organization. Linda?
All right. Pat mentioned Susan Hoffman, and Susan Hoffman was one of the people that started this program along with attorney Tony Serra back in 1997. At that time, there was a moratorium on public guardians, and when Tony had a client that was incapacitated and needed a guardian, he says, oh, gosh, what are we going to do? So he spoke to Susan Hoffman, and between the two of them was born volunteer guardianship.
I'll just add to that. So the organization is 23 years old. So for the last 23 years, most of the guardianship cases that were presented in Hunterdon County have not been handled by the state. They've been handled by our organization. So I like to say that we're providing one-on-one care for our community members, but we're also saving the state some money because they're not accessing the Office of Public Guardians, private guardians. So it's a win-win situation. I also love the fact that our guardians, most of our volunteer guardians happen to be seniors. The majority of them are, and I love the fact that they're now stepping up and becoming a guardian, and really the bond is almost becomes like a family, and they're caring for these individuals that pretty much most of them have lived in Hunterdon County their entire lives. We're caring for a nurse. We cared recently for a World War II veteran, a CPA. So these are individuals that lived in Hunterdon County, paid taxes, you know, provided to the community, and their only crime was that they grew too old, and they either had no family or no willing family to kind of help them when they got older. So
That's really the situation. Of course, it's happening more and more often. And if there's family members who are able to care for the people, then they don't need either a guardian appointed by the court or a volunteer guardian. But as you said, there are just more and more people now who are getting older who don't have that kind of a support system and really should be entitled to stay here. I mean, when you think about it, why should somebody have to leave after living many years in Hunterdon County just because they're old and perhaps don't have someone? And to have someone who's kind of a neighbor and a friend, it seems to me, is so much better than having a state agency involved.
Oh, definitely. And can you just imagine you've worked all your life and then you become old and you've outlived everybody and you have nobody to look after you? You know, that's a scary thing. And the volunteers that we have step up, you know, they actually take on another person's life like it was their own family member. And they visit them weekly. They go above and beyond. And all my volunteers say they get so much more out of it than they give.
Well, let me ask you, because I'm sure there's some people who will be listening to this, because, of course, people are listening now and then they can download this program later. If someone was interested in perhaps becoming a volunteer, I'm sure that someone might say, well, I just wouldn't know how to do it. Talk a little bit about what it takes to become a volunteer.
Okay, a volunteer is, they'll come to us and they have a background check. We do that. We do offer extensive training. Our training is modeled on the National Guardianship Association training program. And one of the pluses is the board of directors that we have, the board of trustees, which comprises of doctors, attorneys, social workers, nurse, anybody that they could seek help from that would be involved with, you know, the elderly people. So they're never alone, or volunteers are never alone. We require that they do get trained in or come to our programs at least 3 hours every year. There is oversight for the volunteer. They have to do an accounting for their people, which the state volunteer program oversees. And they get help with that. I mean, anything that our volunteers need help with, we give them. They are sworn in by the court, so it is definitely a legal matter. If you have any questions, you can go to our website, Volunteer Guardianship, www.volunteerguardianship.org.
And one of the things, and I've known Susan Hoffman for a long time, she's a surrogate. I think, in fact, she's the longest-serving surrogate,
yes,
in the state of New Jersey. And if you ever, anybody who goes to vote, you would see that I can't recall the last time there was anyone who even ran against Susan. But one of the things that people also can do is call her. She is so accessible, and if there's a concern about somebody who's elderly, I'm sure, without even asking, that many of the people who become clients on Guardianship 101 actually are referred by Susan.
I'm going to comment on that, because the one thing that completely, continually impresses me about Susan Hoffman, she seems to remember every case that has come, you know, through her court, and she continually asks for updates. So she is the person that created this organization, but she's fully invested in the individuals that we take under our care. And other thing, too, is when individuals hear about, oh, you know, a lot of people want to serve for, you know, and volunteer. When they hear what we do, a lot of them are like, that sounds like a lot of work, or I'm overwhelmed by the idea or the concept of taking over the responsibility for someone's life. But two things to that is, Linda is like a matchmaker. We have cases that are very simple. It might just be an elderly gentleman that's in a nursing home, and he just needs a little attention, you know, someone to kind of watch over his care. Or we have more complicated cases where houses are involved and finances. And Linda, I always say she makes the magic happen. She makes amazing matches and works really hard at it. And interestingly enough, those individuals that at first are kind of overwhelmed, they get hooked, they feel that connection and the relationship. And although most of the people we deal with are incapacitated, you start to see them actually thrive a little bit. they most of them have had no attention for a long time, so they're both kind of thriving from this. I'm struck by, we attend a lot of funerals because we're caring for elderly individuals. I'm struck by how the individual, the guardian serving, is grieving and crying, and it just brings on the importance of what we do and the connection that they form. And a lot of them, after a while, say, I'm ready again, give me another one. We have an 84-year-old guardian, volunteer guardian, that's on her fourth case. Mm-hmm. And she swears it's the fountain of youth. And I have to think she's right, because I think when you get to be in your elder ages and you're still vibrant and in good health, what a great way to use your time to help, you know, give back to the community.
And you're right. And one of the things I know is somebody who is a guardian needs some help. There are people out there to help. I mean, with some financial questions, with some legal questions.
Definitely.
So it's not that somebody becomes a guardian and then kind of is out there and, you know, on their own. One of the things that I've thought of, and I hope people out there are thinking about this, if you are a parent who's becoming elderly and are caring for an adult disabled, not a child any longer. But one of my concerns, and I've seen this as an attorney, where there really has not been the type of planning that there needs to be. And it can be pretty tragic if something happens when the parent can no longer care for this adult who is disabled, and then there has to be a very quick transition. I don't know if there have been any cases that you've encountered like that.
Interesting. You should mention that.
Today, just this morning.
This was not a setup, guys. It was not a setup.
So I was on the phone with a woman who is into her older years of life. She took on the guardianship of a nephew who was 54. And sadly enough, she took on this guardianship because her sister abused him. And so that's why she took the boy on many years ago. And so she's saying, what if? What if I die? What's the next step? And so we're now kind of figuring that out with her. And, you know, how I was in awe of this woman that she, you know, stepped up and became this boy's guardian. And she went on to tell me, I love him like he's my son. And she was crying. I was crying. So, like, we're entering, like, volunteer guardianship is always kind of what we do fits in a box. Incapacitated adult, assign a guardian, and we will support you. We're starting to see there's so many other needs in the community that I think we're trying to just expand and help. And I'm committed to help this woman. You know, we've got some creative ideas that we're trying to come up with. You know, the hard part about this is she going to live for 20 years, 25 years? Can't assign a guardian, but there are some things that we can do. But I agree. I think it's a big problem right now.
Well, and it could solve a serious potential problem if suddenly she could not handle the role. And the other tragedy in my mind is what happens with that disabled young man that she, maybe not young man, 54 years old, but he's going to be, how would he deal with things mm-hmm. if suddenly the only person who's been involved
sure.
in his life yeah. is gone? And I know that I think probably what you're trying to do is see if there's some transition, so at least he'd know someone, and it wouldn't be such a shock and such a trauma. So I think that's great. And I also know that apparently there's discussion about expanding beyond Hunterdon County. Is that correct?
Yes.
That is correct. We are in hashtag expansion mode, and we actually have cases in four counties. So we are okay. serving in four counties right now. So we're kind of expanded in a little bit, but we just had a session in Somerset. We spoke to the Division of Social Services, and we think right now it's just kind of communicating, getting the word out. But, yeah, I think we're ready.
And we're also having a communication education program in Somerset County.
That was the next thing I wanted to ask you about, because just in general, talk about the education, because this is not just for the guardians. This is my understanding. It's open to the public, and in fact, you encourage the public to come to these educational programs. So tell me if my view is accurate about that.
I do think it's accurate. When I started 6 years ago, the guardianship, the education seemed to be basically guardianship training, our guardians, volunteers. And under the wonderful oversight of Linda Bryant, the education chair for our organization, she has taken the education seminars to a whole new level. Like, we are covering, you know, healthy eating and hoarding, and, like, she's kind of gone in all sorts of directions. And, you know, they say education is power, right? Knowledge is power. And so I think that's the other part of our organization that just really supports the community. We, you know, it's great for us to kind of find volunteers and guardians and spread the word about what we do. But there's some very, very important education going on. It's all free. There's typically a very nice dinner that's served with it. And
In fact, I want you to talk about the program coming up on Wednesday,
yes,
March 27th, 2019, because this is a program that I think a lot of adults would be helped, because we're seeing more and more signs of alcoholism and addiction in the elderly, and I think that this is a lot of this is a problem that many boomers are facing with their parents.
Parents,
so
yes.
Why don't we talk about that program? I think there are two things that I think is going to be terrific on this at this program.
Yes, well, Wednesday, March 27th, recognizing the signs of addiction in the elderly, presented by Steve, and I'm not sure how to say his last name, Drezurzewski. He's the director of substance abuse and counseling services at the Hackensack Meridian Health Center. The program will begin at 5:30, dinner at 6, and program starts at 6:30.
And that's going to be?
It's going to be at Foothill Acres Rehabilitation and Nursing Center, 39 East Mountain Road, Hillsborough Township.
And then the
second part of the program will be Medicare, Medicaid, and working with banks. And that's going to be presented by our own Robert Shanahan, Esquire, senior partner at Shanahan & Voight.
Now, Bob is one of the attorneys here in Hunterdon County who handles elder law.
Mm-hmm.
And these programs actually seems to me the focus, or not the focus necessarily, but the people who should be very interested is not just people who are elderly, but those of us, or actually it's not me any longer, but adults who have parents who are aging, because these are two very significant areas that
yes.
People need to know about. I mean, certainly the signs of addiction in the elderly, it's much more of a problem than people realize, and I know that, and I can't pronounce his name either, but he's now, and Hackensack Meridian Health is now at Carrier
mm-hmm.
Clinic. So this is something here in this area. I know that they have programs at Carrier, but this would be something if anyone is concerned about a parent, or if a spouse is concerned about a parent, such an important, and rarely, in fact, I don't know if I've ever seen a program in this area that focuses on addiction in the elderly.
And even a neighbor to somebody, you know, an elderly person, a neighbor,
absolutely.
It would help them to maybe recognize them. Because we have gotten people with addiction problems as, you know, guardianship cases.
And well, and I know
definitely out there.
As an attorney, can be a big problem. And maybe because I'm getting older, I'm handling more and more divorces and separations of older people. Mm. And addiction, and of course we all know that addiction can be such a problem because there's so many people who become addicted through legitimate prescription mm-hmm. medication.
Yeah.
So anyway, that sounds like a great program. And tell people where they could call to find out more about it. Is that another thing they could go on the website?
They can call us. Our number is 908-483-5009.
Okay.
Needed your glasses
here. And the RSVP looking for people to respond by March 22nd, because there will be a dinner, and you know, there's no charge, and I think this would be something that if the listeners can't go, pass the word around. And then there's going to be another very important program on Wednesday, April 10th, 2019. Could you talk a little bit about that program?
Sure. That program will be held at Hunterton Care Center here in Flemington, and I'm looking forward to this. It's Neglect and Exploitation of the Elderly. We've put together an expert panel to cover all the aspects of any kind of neglect and who would be handling that. We have Dr. John Heath, Robert Shanahan, Linda Bryant, Raina Post, social worker at Hunterton Medical Center, and Susan Nicola, who is the division head of social work. We also have a few other individuals coming. APS is coming, Veteran Affairs. So it's going to be a whole group there to kind of talk and answer any questions. We see, I mean, Hunterton County, I live here, it's near perfect, in my opinion, but we see so much abuse and neglect. Well, just in this little county.
And
so
you must see it too.
Well, you know, it's because mainly people that know me know that I handle family law divorce cases. I also don't do a lot of guardianship, but I am currently in a situation where the way the case started is the daughter actually assaulted her mother. I'm representing a sibling because at that point they had a joint power of attorney. And one of the things that I found interesting, and I won't talk more about the case because it is pending, but the one thing that I found very interesting is for somebody out there who's never used the system, it was very difficult for my client. Luckily, Hunterton Medical Center got involved immediately because Hunterton Medical Center, he was able to find out what he had to do as a result of that. But it was interesting how, because the mother who was assaulted really had dementia, and as far as being able to say exactly what happened, she did say what happened initially, but then, you know, couldn't remember it. So from a legal standpoint, from a criminal standpoint, from the prosecution standpoint, you know, I found that they were very reluctant to deal mm-hmm. with that kind of an assault. Mm-hmm. And it was settled in municipal court, but it was very interesting to me.
We see a lot of financial exploitation as well. And
well, I see more of that.
Yeah. Oh, I bet you do, yeah.
Where it's not unusual for someone to get a power of attorney and then misuse mm-hmm. funds. I have another case that we're now looking into, you know, what happened to all the withdrawals from someone's account. And, you know, because it's fairly easy to trace mm-hmm. and for most elderly people, their expenses are fairly, you know, standard. And the other thing, I hate to say, but one of the concerns that I've seen and I've had is how the scams, you know, the scams and the attempts to scam mm-hmm. the elderly.
Yep.
And I'll never forget one so-called religious leader, and this woman kept giving really money that she could not afford, but ridiculous amounts of money to this particular, in my view, scammer. But let's get back, because I'm sure that if that happened with someone who has a guardian, they would actually be able to see what was going on.
Yes. Yep. Because they have to account for that person's property and money, and they keep a close watch on everything.
When you say they have to account, what exactly do they do? Is it a formal accounting? Or?
Yes, it's a formal accounting done annually. Initially, after 90 days, they do an inventory and submit it to the court, so there's a beginning record. And then yearly, they do a annual accounting showing how the money was spent.
Okay. And, of course, I do know that the state has, there is a state office of for guardians, but, you know, thank goodness we don't have to use that in Hunterdon County because, again, I'm not faulting a state agency. I'm sure they do a very good job, but I can't imagine that they can be as on top of things from a personal standpoint.
Well, that's why we call it a volunteer guardianship one-on-one. It's one guardian to one person. And we always say you're never alone, and that means our person under guardianship is not alone, and our volunteer is not alone because they have a whole board behind them.
And really to add, I mean, we're kind of in epidemic stages of, you know, individuals are living longer, and, you know, we actually get a lot of funding from pharmaceutical companies, you know, grants, and I always feel like saying, you owe us the money because you've created all these wonderful medicines that's allowing us to live longer. So in a way, you know, you have to pay back. But what's happening, though, is it is an epidemic. Everyone's living longer, and they estimate one out of every three over the age of 83 will have some form of Alzheimer's or dementia. There's no real cure at this point. So what we do and what the Office of Public Guardian does is necessary. But what's happening now is Office of Public Guardians are handling so many cases that maybe there is more of a relationship or partnership that has to occur statewide. There are states that have full volunteer guardianship programs that cover the entire state.
Okay. So, well, we'll be back. I'm going to just take a break to play some spots from our sponsors, and then I'll be back, and we'll talk more about volunteer guardianship one-on-one. I think, and as I said, anybody who is interested either in the programs or knows somebody that might need the services or actually might think of being a guardian, let's be sure to get a hold of the volunteer guardianship one-on-one program. Be back in a minute.
Join us for a fun-filled evening at the...
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, we're back, and I'm Pat Smith, the program It's the Law, and today my guests are Linda and Cindy, and we're talking about volunteer guardianship one-on-one. We talked a little bit about the education programs, and I do want to ask these ladies about fundraising, because I'm assuming that the guardians obviously don't have to pay to be guardians, and the people who are, what do you call them, clients?
Well, wards. They're
wards.
Referred to
like
as wards.
Okay. Persons under guardianship.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, but they don't have to pay.
No.
So there's you know, this is a volunteer organization, but like all volunteer organizations, there are expenses. So let's talk a little bit, because one of the things I want to talk about are the two fundraising events, one of which will be coming up. But how, in fact, do you fund the program?
I can probably answer that. I've always said Linda makes the magic, and I'm the one that has to figure out how to pay for the magic. So in my past 6 years, I've worked pretty extensively on all of the fundraising events, which would include the barn dance and our galas. And I have to say, it overwhelms me how supportive Hunterdon County is of this little organization, as far as the sponsors and all the attendees. It's just been amazing. There's so many worthy organizations that do so much, and what we do is kind of different. Like, we don't serve masses. We massively change someone's life, like one life at a time. And so that's what I'm always in awe of, that we fill a room and that people give us money and really care about what we're doing. Pretty amazing. I'm a grant writer. I'm a pretend grant writer. I'm always happy when I open up an envelope and I say, Linda, there's a check in here. So, and our grantors, some of them are local foundations, pharmaceutical companies. And so just I'm so appreciative of everyone that really helps. We're now, because we're kind of moving into more into the expansion mode, my role has changed. I'm no longer involved in fundraising. So I'm looking forward to just showing up and coming to the party, I guess.
Well, I am involved in the gala, and save the date. The date this year is going to be June 13th. We're going to be at the Lambertville Station, and our honoree, and this is something that, you know, you can talk about each one of the honorees in the last few years. In fact, I think maybe my first introduction to the organization is I attended the gala the year that Susan Hoffman was the honoree, because I knew Susan. And then, of course, there's a barn dance in the fall, and, you know, I'm one of these kids that came out of Wisconsin, and this was my opportunity to, you know, wear my cowboy boots. And so actually, that the fall gala, the barn dance, is so much fun.
It
really was great. Last year it was at the Buffalo Farm. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've yet selected the location this year, But no one can complain if they get hauled out to a barn dance, even my husband. So, but in any event, the gala this year, as I said, is going to be on the 13th of June. We're in the middle of making plans, but we have selected our honoree, who is DJ Wright, and I've known DJ for a few years. I knew he was involved in a lot.
Yes.
But if you don't know DJ...
Who doesn't know DJ?
You know, you're right. He's one of those people that... But he really does so much for so many organizations. In fact, one of the interesting things, and I'm on the planning committee for this, and one of the interesting things is how are we going to maybe somewhat limit it? I mean, I think we could probably have 30 clergy at the you know.
Yes, so that's right.
And everybody I know wants to say something. It actually could be fun if it was a roast, but we're not going to do that. And I think, you know, his involvement in so many organizations. So this is going to be really pretty spectacular. It's going to be on June 13th, and we are looking for sponsorships. And, of course, we'll reach out to all of those people and some of the organizations and some of the companies here in Hunterdon are always amazing. It seems to me I go to a lot of stuff. And it seems to me we always are getting, you know, ShopRite isn't there. I think I'm in the wrong place. And, of course, Hunterdon Medical Center. But there are so many, you know, good places here. But, honestly, if you've never been to one of the galas, you know, you don't even have to know DJ. But I think this will be a very fun time. June 13th, it's going to be at the Lambertville station, and but
it's a beautiful place too, isn't it? Right
it
on
is.
The water, and it looks so gorgeous at night.
And hopefully, we'll be able to start it at least outside with the cocktails. Mm-hmm. And we're expecting what we're attempting to do is have an open bar. So I don't know. Maybe we better be a little careful if we're having, you know, talking about. Alcohol and drug abuse in the elderly, and then we're saying we're having an open bar. But we'll also have drivers for anyone who needs them. So what else can you talk to the audience about the other galas and, you know?
So I had just started when we were just kind of saying let's do a gala, and we were our first honoree was Rabbi Evan Jaffe.
That's right, it
and
was.
And so Harry Copeland was in charge of the fundraising committee at the time, and Harry passed away suddenly, and so I think that's how I kind of got more involved in the event. And you know, we learned a lot from the first one. We really did. I remember DJ and I were the only ones there late at night saying, "Somehow we pulled this off. We're a very small organization. This is the staff. This is it. You know, this is volunteer guardianship. It's two part-time employees and." You know, the board is amazing. You know, they're able to help as much as they can. But as you know, most of our board members have more than a full-time job. They own their own businesses. So I'm always amazed that we're able to pull some of these off. But sadly, Rabbi did pass away. He was a guardian for our organization for 10 years.
Yeah, that was amazing. I mean, I think if anyone in the audience didn't know Rabbi Jaffe, you really missed out because he was just an amazing force in this community.
He was. He and I have actually gotten volunteers that wanted to become part of our organization because of him. You know, they want to carry on his legacy of helping people, and they joined our organization as volunteers, and I'm so grateful for that.
I do try when I was submitting grants to... sometimes I give them a menu of, like, here's a choice of what you can fund, you know, instead of just saying, give me this money for, you know, like, what do you want to fund? And one thing I started to add was we created a Rabbi Evan Jaffe Award Fund, and the whole thing was little things mean so much to those that have nothing. Because Rabbi used to buy, he would use his own money to buy stuff for all the, he had, although we're one-on-one, he would have four. Somehow he would end up with four. And so I started that account, and it grew. It grew, and it grew, and it grew, and more money kept coming in, and more money. And so as you know, we're in the process now of setting up a scholarship in his honor. And so we're working all the details through right now, but we really hope to award one or two Hunterdon County graduating seniors that either gave back to the community, want to serve in some type of, you know, service or social work capacity. And so I'm really happy that we can continue his good work and his memory and all that he did, not only for the county, but for our organization.
Well, and when you talk about, and many of us complain we're too busy, but when you talk about somebody who is busy and yet found the time to be a guardian, you know, Rabbi Jaffe was just, I mean, it was amazing. I don't think I knew until fairly recently that on top of everything else he was doing, he was also a guardian.
And he was a good one. He got attached, really so attached to all the people he took
care of. He didn't want to give anybody up.
No, he became very attached.
And
so
he had the knack. He could go in there, somebody residing in the hospital, he can go in there, take care of their finances, get them on Medicaid faster than anybody else I knew that could get somebody on Medicaid. It was amazing.
His memory definitely lives on within this organization. And, you know, he did good work and we're continuing, and he was the best. He really, really was. But we've honored, you know, Susan Hoffman, Robert Shanahan.
I remember with Bob, who was also very involved in the Boy Scouts. They were part of his tribute. Was that last year or the year before? Last year. And then we do, or the organization does other things. There will be, and I've never gotten used to this coming from the Midwest. I don't know what they called it out there, but I think you call it a tricky tray here, right?
Are they doing a tricky
tray? Yeah, well, okay. We're doing a tricky tray and probably a 50-50. And, of course, we have to get whatever we need to get, so we're legally able to do that. So if there is anyone out there who wants to donate, you know, before we come to hit you up, it would be good. You could always call the organization. And I think everybody has been at enough fundraisers to see what kinds of great baskets. In fact, I was recently at something. This was a silent auction. I thought, oh, well, I'll bid on Pilates, and guess what? I happen to be the high bidder on the Pilates. So now I'm negotiating to see if we can do baby Pilates. But all of these things are so worthwhile. They really are. And so we're looking forward to everybody coming out thinking, you know, sponsorship is, of course, important. And, you know, all of this money really goes to, you know, good causes. This is not a situation where we're spending money fundraising, right?
Right. And I like to say, I mean, I think we're a pretty frugal organization. It's just these two part-time employees. We rent space from Independence Manor. In fact, Dr. D happened to be doing a tour, and I heard his voice, and I opened the door. I'm like, Dr. D, and he's like, what is this? And it's our office. Like, it really is a closet. But we're fiscally very conservative. Our combined salaries, $45,000. We serve not for the money, but just for the care, and our hearts are so into what we do. So anyone that does sponsor, your money is going directly to care for these individuals that, you know, pay taxes and, you know, serve this county and, you know, need someone to kind of take care of them as they get older. So it's,
and have paid taxes and have been a part of the community. And I think we understand, although, you know, we hear lots of people are moving from New Jersey, moving from Hunterdon because they can't afford it. We don't want people to have to move because there's nobody here to give them the support that they need. And I think that is what makes so much sense to me. You know, we're not saying people shouldn't move, but we do know, and the statistics are not great as to what happens as we get older. I understand also that the wards don't have to be living in their own home. Some of them are living in facilities.
Yes.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about, so the people listening might understand, if they know someone, a neighbor, a friend, or even a family member, you know, that they're questioning, what do they do? What would be the first step? You know, whatever help we can give people, whatever information, I guess I should say, we can give people would be important.
I give them as far as what?
Well, I mean, who, if somebody sees an older person in the community, at what point do they think maybe there should be some intervention?
Well, the people we get have to be declared incapacitated to get a guardian, and that's done by two doctors, physicians. But anybody in the community that sees someone struggling or suspect exploitation probably should call Adult Protective Services, because they'll go in and investigate, and we do get cases from them. They're familiar with us, and they like us, and they know we take good care of the people, so that would be a first step.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is one of the concerns probably of people. Who to call? Obviously, if somebody goes to the medical center and they have some concerns, they will contact Adult Protective Services. And yes, there is a process, and it's a legal process where right. someone, and this is good. I mean, you can't just have somebody that you, a family member or anyone else, and you just can't say, oh, well, you're incompetent, I'm going to take over your money, etc. It is a process. It's done, I think, very well here in Hunterdon County. Again, it goes through the surrogate's office, through Susan Hoffman, and then in order to file for guardianship, there is a process, that a legal process that we go through, and I've done this, and there are at least two physicians that have to see the person and have to determine that they are not competent, and there are medical reports that go in, and any family members are, of course, notified. So if in case a family member does not agree, they have a right to come into court. And so that's the process. Very often there's a temporary guardian most of the time. There's an attorney appointed for the alleged incompetent, and in some cases, especially with Judge Rubin, he will also appoint a temporary guardian ad litem that is part of that process before the person, there's a final guardian appointed. So are you saying that sometimes in these cases, one of the volunteers are actually appointed by the court?
Oh, yes.
And that's how that happens for all of the people coming through the program.
Right.
You know, I guess I like to say sometimes it's like three really large benefits this organization, I think, contributes. We're taking care of the elderly. We're creating a wonderful volunteerism program. We're, you know, doing some really great grassroots education. The last thing that you just made me think of is many times a neighbor will notice a neighbor's not thriving. They'll call an emergency squad. They'll show up. They'll take the individual in. And maybe they have something that needs treatment. And once the hospital has treated that person, if they've now deemed that person to be incapacitated, they cannot just send them back to their home. It would be an unsafe release. And so the hospital cannot do that. And if they don't have any relative or next of kin, that person lays in the hospital bed day after day, week after week, month after month, and they estimate it's costing anywhere from $1,800 to $2,400 a day, which is not money that the hospital can recover, because it's not a covered event. So Hunterdon Medical Center, other hospitals, this is a huge problem, and they're losing a lot of money because of this. So what we do here in Hunterdon is we have an interim special guardian program created, and when Hunterdon has such a case, it's a very quick, processed, speedy interim guardian or emergency guardian that will take over. That guardian is put in place to kind of figure out, is there family, is there money, do I move them into a nursing home? So I like to say that we keep hospitals healthy. You know, in the same token, you know, under Hunterdon Medical Center, as they do their budget every year, I always say you have to make a big question mark, because how many of those cases are you going to have? One, two, eight? Are they here for a month, 6 months? So this little organization is able to save this hospital potentially millions of dollars.
And give the person who doesn't belong in the hospital a good alternative.
Yes.
And again, the type of cases that I'm usually involved in obviously go to litigation because people are fighting, family members are fighting over who should be the guardian. But then we have all these other cases where, you know, unless this organization steps up, there really isn't anyone unless it's the Office of Public Guardian.
True.
Well, we have a few more minutes, and let me just do a couple spots, and then we'll come back and figure out anything else that we think people listening might be interested in. And again, tell them a little bit more about these education programs, because I think this is such a benefit to the community. And I know that there's lots of stuff out there, but some of this is something that, you know, people really need to learn about. Back in a minute.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay, we're back. We have a few more minutes, and Linda, is there anything else that you'd like to talk about at this point?
Yes. One of the ways our education programs is helpful is to educate community members about, you know, we talked about exploitation of finances and families doing that, but a lot of times they don't realize that they're doing it. They're spending their mom's money because they're taking care of mom or dad and think they can write checks willy-nilly as they need them. But what they don't realize is that if and when mom or dad needs to go on Medicaid, Medicaid does a 5-year look back and will question every check written that was not for the exact care of the parent. So we hold programs on Medicaid to educate the community because, in all fairness, people are not aware.
No, they're not. And, you know, I may have a different view. I know some people, you know, want to get rid of their money because, you know, they think that's the way to go. I'm sorry. I think that older people, the best thing to do is to live long enough and to have enough money that you can live long enough, and hopefully you'll never have to be in a position where you know, have to go on Medicaid. On the other hand, I just don't think that anybody is entitled to an inheritance, so maybe I have a different view. Mm-hmm. But my concern is all the people who outlive their money. And especially today with the cost of living, the cost of remaining in Hunterdon County, So I'm assuming that part of this educational program on the March 27th will be dealing with the questions, it says, Medicare, Medicaid, and working with banks.
And even, you know, Grandma and Grandpa might want to write large checks to their family, but if they're at that age where their money's going to run out quickly and have to go on Medicaid, it's a big problem for them. And a lot of times the children will say, oh, well, she's got to go on Medicaid. I better start spending the money now. And thinking they're helping by getting them down to that $2,000. I don't know why they think that's okay, but, you know, it's not. So we hope to educate the community more about
looking
out for mom and dad's money.
And the other thing that can happen, and people always think that it's the older person who's going to die first, but I think we all have stories where, you know, a parent has transferred money to a child, and then the child dies, and there's no provisions for that money to go back to the parent. Or what I see doing divorce is that parents give money thinking they're giving it to their child, but their child uses it, and it's subject to equitable distribution because they buy a house, they buy something, and there's this idea that, well, if the parents need the money, it will go back to them. Well, guess what? You know, that's not very easily done when people are going through divorce. I don't know many spouses who would say to their spouse, fine, you can give that money back. It wasn't really a loan. So we deal with this idea of gifts all the time. And do you find with, I happen to be involved in a case where this woman is in a facility, and I was really happy to find out that this facility will take Medicaid once she pays out, you know, her money. Right. And so, and it won't be, you know, if she had to be there for 5 years or 10 years. I mean, that is their agreement. They will accept the Medicaid. And that was a very pleasant surprise for me to hear.
Well, and most places will. You have to pay up 2 to 3 years at full pay, and then they'll accept you on Medicaid.
Well, I understood that some places will only do it for a certain period of time. But in any event, for people who have elderly parents or elderly relatives, all of these programs are really going to be beneficial. And I know that, as I said, the first one is Wednesday, or the next one is Wednesday, March 27th, and that's going to be at the Foothill Acres Rehabilitation and Nursing Center, which is at 39 East Mountain Road in Hillsboro. So very important. I mean, recognizing the signs of addiction in the elderly and Medicare, Medicaid, and working with banks. So this is an invitation for anyone listening and for anyone that you know to participate in this program. I think it will be incredibly educational, and you get a free dinner. Well, we're out of time. I want to thank my guests, Linda and Cindy, and very important volunteer guardianship one-on-one organization. I hope people will look into it and join us in the gala, because we want to make this a really fun, spectacular night, and it really will be. It truly will be. So that's going to be June 15th. Don't forget to put on the calendar the two programs, the educational programs, on March 27th and June 10th. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you,
ladies.
Thank you so much.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.